Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We have a great show for you tonight, and if you want to call in and ask some questions, you can call in right now at 323-870-3857, and we'll be here till about 8 o'clock tonight, maybe a little after. We'll see how it goes. Tonight, we are going to talk about the details of the Golden Boy and Canelo lawsuit. We'll have the latest for you, and we'll also be previewing the upcoming pay-per-view next week with the Charlos. But first, we're going to get started with ESPN Plus. Jose Pedraza versus Javier Molina. Pedraza steamrolled into an easy unanimous decision over Javier Molina by the scores of 99-91, 98-92, and 98-92 twice. Fairly one-sided fight, man. Quite honestly, it was typical Pedraza. He looks great against these guys. I mean, he was able to just keep this guy off him for the entire fight, made him... You know, Molina was trying, but it just wasn't enough. You know, it just wasn't enough. This, again, was typical Pedraza. And he looks great, Beeb, against people he should look great against. The Molinas of the world, I mean, he looks great against, you know, good competition. When he steps it up, though, the higher-level competition, championship-level competition, he seems to fall a little bit short. Bigger fights, he seems to fall a little bit short. I'll be honest, I don't quite get it. He's a solid fighter. He's got good defense. He's got a fairly decent offense. What happens to him in the big fights, Beeb?
A lot of it has to do with styles. He can be made to feel uncomfortable if a guy has fast feet and can get inside on him and bully him and muscle him on the inside and rough him up a little bit and manhandle him. When he's allowed to get off first, when he's allowed to dictate the pace, when he's allowed to, you know, fight in his comfort zone, then he looks great. When he's in there with a guy that he's faster than, when he's in there with a guy that's rough around the edges, who's a little bit sloppy, who's not on his level, then he's okay. But then when he gets in there with a guy like Tank Davis, who can kind of bully him in there, get inside, rough him up a little bit, bump him, pressure him, fight him up close. He's a guy that likes to fight from the outside. He's an outside guy. And when you get close to him and like I said, you make him feel uncomfortable with pressure and you know, roughhouse tactics on the inside. Anyone who could fight decent on, you know, who's a good mid-range to inside fighter, and who's got quick feet and can get inside on him before he can catch him with the jab and keep him on the outside. You can get past that jab of Pedraza, then that's it. You decode him. You know, you break the code once you get past that jab. You know, if you look at Tank really fought a physical fight, put a lot of pressure on him, got in his chest, bumped him a lot, you know, kept disrupting his rhythm, made him feel uncomfortable, hit him with power shots, and he could never get going in that fight. Lomachenko, a little bit more methodical, but, you know, he could establish himself in the mid-range, quick feet once again, could get past the jab, step around the jab, and shortened up the distance a lot and took away the space that Pedraza likes. And he fights a pretty fast-paced fight as well. And once you step on the gas on him and you can, and you have the, you know, the athletic ability with foot speed and hand speed to get off first on him and establish your position and beat him to the spot and take the distance away from him, then it's game over. And that's the problem. It just, he has a hard time dealing with physical fighters, guys who can fight in the mid range, guys who can fight on the inside, guys who have quick feet. You have quick feet And, you know, like guys with quick feet usually can get past jabs. They know how to throw feints. They know how to, you know, they're real explosive and stuff. And it's hard to keep them on the outside with just the jab. So that's the problem.
Ask you, what can he do? Can he remedy the situation? Because he's got quick feet, too. And he's got very good footwork.
What he needs to do is he needs to learn how to grapple a little bit up close.
Okay.
When he feels uncomfortable, he has to learn how to freeze the action, grab a guy, take some time off the clock, lean on a guy, kind of push him back, walk him back, release, push, and push and create that space a bit. Do you notice with George Foreman, when George Foreman fought Frazier,
and I've
said this several times, you know, when Frazier kept getting close to him and trying to smother George, you notice how George kept pushing him off, he'd grab him, and then he would, like, throw him to the side or throw him, you know, from side to side and just knock him off kilter a little bit and never let Frazier plant his feet. So when a guy tries to blanket you and smother you, what you have to do is you have to grab him, nullify him. You have to stop the momentum, okay? You can't let a guy if you need to turn your shots over and fully extend. If you're not a guy that can really who's not fluid with throwing short shots and fighting up close, when you're a guy who's an outside fighter, okay, you've got to nullify the inside game of somebody. Like Ali knew how to nullify, Foreman knew how to nullify. Like Foreman didn't sit there and fight Frazier at his range.
Right.
He made Frazier fight him at his range. So what you got to do is you got to not allow the guy to get comfortable. So he's taking you out of your comfort zone, which is you like space. You like to work off your jab. You like to touch the guy first with your jab, and then everything flows off the jab. So what you need to do is you got to stop the guy. You got to, like, grab the guy, lean on him, kill the clock a little bit, and then you got to push him back. You got to take that break a little bit, reset, you know, freeze the action, give yourself some time to think, reset, you know, push or turn him this way, and slide back a little bit and create those punching angles for yourself and create that space for yourself. Okay? You don't fight fire with fire in this situation.
No.
What you got to do is you got to put out the fire. Okay? And by putting out the fire, you freeze the action. You got to grab, lean. What did Klitschko do? Grab, lean.
Hold. That frustrates out. People. I tell you what, that really frustrates people too.
And what did he do? He would push you. He would push you, or he would turn you to the side and slide back, and he would boom, boom. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got to create. It's like you're playing chess. You got to position the pieces to get the checkmate, okay? You can't let the other guy dictate, you know, you can't let him dictate how that board's going to look. You have to make that board look the way you want it to look. Just like you have to make and position yourself where you can get your offense off and don't take the other guy's offense away from him, okay? So if you know you're not an inside fighter, then, you know, you've got to freeze the action on the inside. You got to take the guy's best weapons away from him. You know, he's in there with the guy that last night who's slow, who he could see coming a mile away.
Yeah.
The guy was coming forward, whatever, but he was slow. He was loading up. He wasn't fluid. He wasn't sharp. He wasn't explosive.
It was tailor-made for this guy, man. He really was.
Got a guy like Tank who can get in your chest in a matter of seconds.
Yeah.
You know, you blink your eye, Tank's in your chest. Lomachenko, well, he's moving around, but he's in and out, he's in and out, he's in and out. You know what I mean? Guy like Lomachenko, you gotta do what Salido. What did Salido do to Lomachenko? Bump, bump, touch, bump. Like, if I can't hit you with a punch, guess what I'm gonna do? I'm just gonna like smack you in the shoulder, smack you in the chest, keep bumping you. While I'm bumping you, you can't throw punches. You know what I mean? What did Ali used to do? Ali used to, like, Foreman too. Would he, like, take the glove, stick in guys' faces, grab, like throw them around, whatever. He would just break, you know, knock people off rhythm. Sometimes the guy's faster than you. You gotta knock him off rhythm. You can't let a guy set up shop, plant his feet. You can't allow a guy to establish himself in his comfort zone. You got to take his comfort zone away from him. Simple as that. It's not simple as that. It's simple in theory. In practice, it's very hard.
Well, that was my next question for you.
You got to at least try it. You cannot. You either try it and you have a chance of having success,
right?
Or you don't try it and you have no chance of having success.
Is this something he's going to be able to employ at this stage of his career?
Absolutely.
Sounds easy enough, right?
Yeah. Well, with a lot of trainers, and again, I mean, I don't know everything, I mean, but I've been in gyms. But the problem with a lot of trainers is they look at what the guy's good at and they focus on that. They don't focus on what the guy's bad at. So here's the thing. When you focus on what a guy's bad at, it's not like you're going to – in other words, you got a guy like Antonio Margarito. You're never going to turn him into Sugar Ray Leonard. You're never going to turn him into Pennell Whitaker. So what you got to do is you got to come up with some tactics to take away those things that trouble him. In other words,
mm-hmm.
So if Margarito's a physical guy. Same thing like when Shane Mosley fought Margarito. Shane Mosley's a mid-range guy. He's not an inside fighter.
Right.
He's a mid-range guy, right? What did he do when Margarito got close to him? I love using this example. In terms of game plan, that was the I've never seen. This is a very bold statement I'm going to make here, and people may be, "What are you talking about?" I have never seen a fighter execute a game plan as perfectly as Shane Mosley executed in that fight. Nobody ever was able to do to Margarito with Shane Mosley. Like, no one beat Margarito like that.
No, he beat him.
Nobody.
He beat him.
You know,
yeah.
Nobody ever knocked out Margarito cold like got a legitimate stoppage against Margarito, like knocked him out. And what was Margarito's game? He liked to fight. He wasn't really a physical guy, but he liked to press you, come forward, and he liked to, you know, fight on the inside. He liked to throw those short, you know, those up close type punches. A lot of times he would loop them a little bit too much, but he liked to fight up close. And every time Margarito got close to Mosley, what did Mosley do to him? Grabbed him, walked him back.
Mm-hmm.
Turned him, push, and then every time he pushed, right after the push, boom, boom, pushed him just far enough, slid back a little, boom, boom, right hand, left hook, mid-range, like short. See how he, like, they were mid-range, just like corkscrew right hand, mid-range, short left hook. Beautiful, because he took Margarito's sweet spot, his comfort areas where he likes to operate away from him.
Yeah.
That was a perfectly executed game plan. I've never seen a game plan that perfect. It was beautiful. Beautiful.
So I'll be interested to see what Pedraza does. He called for a title shot after this fight. He called for a title shot. I'll be curious to see if he can alter it. If he can step up, if he can win. I mean, he's looked better at this weight than he has at the 135. I mean, for the most part, I mean, I think he's looked better. He's kind of resurrected himself, put it that way.
Yeah.
Kind of resurrected himself again after those couple of losses. But,
Logan Wolf says Pacquiao destroyed Margarito. Not as bad as Mosley.
Yeah, not as bad as Mosley.
Not as bad. And Margarito finished the fight with Pacquiao. Mosley knocked him out. Like, Mosley gave him a beating.
Yeah.
Gave him a beating.
Yeah, that was a rough fight for him. That was
the ref waved it off, and as the ref waved it off, Margarito was like falling. Like, he was falling down. He's like, boom, like
that was a rough fight for him. Yeah.
That was a beautiful performance from Mosley.
And you know what? I know I didn't see it coming. Put it that way. I thought Margarito was going to beat him. I didn't see that coming.
And Margarito, you know, had some tough had tough fights with Cotto, Paul Williams, Cintron, but no one did that to him.
No, and you know what? This was, I mean, you know, and not to make excuses for Margarito. I mean, he does, you know, but the whole hands wrap thing in the corner with the plaster and everything like that, and they caught it, and you know, it's a big deal.
Nacho's in the chat saying that he was 35 pounds over the 147. He's always been 35 pounds
big
over,
guy, yeah.
over one. He was he never walked around at a low weight. I mean, the guy was 5'11".
Yeah,
the guy walked around at probably 180. You know that these guys. I mean that. This is the boxing world we live in today. Like, everyone walks around 35 pounds heavier than their weight class. I used to, like I said, the gym I used to be at, Dana Rosenblatt, used to fight at 160. Walked around at 185, 190.
The big guy, yeah.
I mean, ever since they did these next day weigh-ins, this is what we have now in the sport
of boxing. That's the world now, yeah, exactly.
I don't think they solved anything. I think they made it worse. My opinion.
All right, let's talk about F.A. Ajagba versus Jonathan Rice, the co-main here. Ajagba wins a unanimous decision over Rice by the scores of 98-92 and 99-91 twice. A lot of people were unimpressed with Ajagba in this fight, and I'll be honest with you, man. I think the criticism is kind of unwarranted. He's still a young fighter. He's only got 14 fights. A lot of people say he has to work on his defense. Hey, welcome to the heavyweight division. A lot of people need to work on their defense. Wilder needs to work on his defense. You know, Anthony Joshua needs to work on his defense. Dillian White needs to work on his defense. Hello, you know, this is the heavyweight. Any one punch can put you out.
You know who doesn't have to work on his defense?
Tyson Fury, baby, the number one defender in the world.
The best heavyweight of all time, Tyson Fury.
Well, no, we had a tournament. He lost.
Yeah, it was fake. It was fake.
That was fake news. That was a fake news tournament. He's still talking about Margarito. Nacho.
Nacho.
That was his boy, wasn't it? That was his boy.
Nacho. I don't know what to tell you, bro.
Stop it.
Margarito used to be in gangs, bro. Yeah, he's a vato. He always drank and partied, bro. He always lived a fast lifestyle, man.
He's a vato.
Vato's locos forever. Vato's locos forever, baby. Arriba la raza.
So is the criticism Jacques only got 14 fights, man? I mean, he's a young guy. They're trying to move him up. They may be up in his competition as well.
You know,
here's the thing.
Again, I give everyone the benefit of the doubt. You don't just snap your fingers and become a world class fighter overnight.
Yeah.
It's a process. I get that, but when you look at this guy, some guys you just look at and you could say, this guy's a natural fighter.
Yeah.
It just comes natural to every, it's instinctive. Other guys, when you go in there and you just watch them and it's like, they're really trying hard to be a fighter. Like they're overthinking things.
Yeah.
You know, and Bradley made an excellent point. All right. He made an excellent point. The guy is just thinking too much in there when he's transitioning from offense to defense, defense to offense. Bradley made a beautiful point, and I noticed the same thing. I don't always agree with Bradley, but Bradley made some good points last night for a change.
I think that's a manager. It's a matter of also too when you think too much in there, it's a matter of, you know, I kind of look at it as a training issue. You know, you look at it as a training issue. You know, has he learned too much in camp? Is he taking on too much? You had to keep it simple. Because when you're thinking about things, you're thinking how to put things together.
Well, he'll throw a combination and he'll just like pause.
Yeah.
And it's almost like what I use this comparison a lot. When you have like a manual transmission, right? You're
mm-hmm.
shifting the gears. There's that lag. All right. There's that lag in between gears because you had to hit the clutch, whatever.
Yeah.
But then the automatic transmission, it's like, boom. It's flawless, right? Ajagbe, like Bradley said, there's a pause. Like, he'll throw a combination, stop, and think, then he'll go back to offense. Whereas
right.
a guy who's just instinctive, it's like, you know, another day at the office, you know what I mean? Boom, 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 and just automatic. There's no automatic with this guy. Like I said, transmission, manual transmission, automatic transmission. There's that lag. There's that pause. There's that little pause between everything. And that's why he gets hit, because he just throw a combination and be like, think for a second. Oh, yeah, I got to get back on defense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And there's something about him that's, you know,
yeah.
I don't know if it can be fixed, quite honestly. I don't know.
Well, because he's not a natural fighter. So
yeah.
he's a good athlete, but he's not a natural. He's just it's like when, you know, you had guys, and again, this is, I'm not making this comparison, you know, to be so, you know, really like an identical comparison, but you know, you had guys like Too Tall Jones tried the box. You know, it's like a guy that took up the sport of boxing later in his life, was probably an athlete, did other sports, whatever. So like no disrespect to Wilder, but Wilder's sort of like that too. Like, he's just focused on offense, and he's not thinking about other things. And, you know, that's why sometimes he gets in trouble, you know, because he's in there with ordinary guys, and ordinary guys have touched him up because he sits there and admires his work. Because, again, he's not a natural boxer. He's a natural fighter, not a natural boxer. You know what I mean? Some guys are just natural fighters. They're just not natural boxers. They, like, you can't fight a boxing match like you fight a fight. Because a fight in the street or whatever, the fight
doesn't translate.
So you have to know a lot of different facets of the sport of boxing to be successful at a high level. You know what I mean? You can't just be good at one thing in the sport.
Right.
You know? And you could sit there and talk about, you know, a guy being strong, powerful, have a big punch, but there's all, we say this all the time, it's always going to be that time when the punch isn't going to be enough. A guy's going to take that punch. Like the bully in the schoolyard. You can only punk someone so long, and then one guy's not going to fall for the yoki doke. One guy's going to be like, yeah, I'm not giving you my lunch money. You know?
Right.
And then where's plan B? You know? Ajagba, I don't think, has a plan B. And I just don't think he's sophisticated enough, and I don't mean to insult the guy, but I don't think that boxing just comes natural to him. He's like an older guy. Now, how old is the guy? Like, what's he, like 20, mid-20s or something like that?
I think so.
If it's not coming natural to you now, I'm not so sure it's going to become natural to you later. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, he doesn't have that.
He's just not a gifted guy. There's no standout. There's nothing. You look at him and you're like, I mean, the guys can punch a little bit. Yeah, the guys.
Well, the good thing that he's got in his favor is he's got Top Rank, and Top Rank will know how to move this guy along.
But you could see him getting in there with somebody and just getting in there with the wrong guy and really getting taken apart. You can just see that.
Yeah. Well, sure. At this stage, yeah, for sure. At this stage, for sure, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the Showtime card. Erickson Lubin versus Terrell Gachet. The headliner here, Erickson Lubin wins a unanimous decision over Terrell Gachet by the scores of 115, 113, 116, 112, and 118, 110. Good win for Lubin, no question about it. But I'll tell you what, man, I had high hopes for Gachet. I really did after the Olympics, but he never really quite lived up to him, man.
He looked great in that Trout fight.
He did, you know. But every time he kind of steps up, he, you know. But again, it's not like he's fighting chumps out there. He's fighting the best, you know, one of the best guys in the world, man. A world-class fighter, man. With the win, Erickson Lubin is now in line with the winner of Jason Rosario versus Jermell Charlo. I suspect that Charlo is going to win that fight, Beeb. I know you had talked about Jason Rosario as a live dog in there.
Yeah, we got to favor Charlo on that fight, but
I think
Rosario,
so too.
But you know, I think it's fair to say that Charlo should be the favorite. And
do you think with Lubin's chin, because he got touched up in that tenth, do you think with Lubin's chin, a rematch with Charlo goes any other way?
I do. I think Lubin.
Lubin's kind of come a long way with boxing. You know,
Lubin's is a real crafty fighter. He's a good counterpuncher. He's got sneaky power. He's got a real sneaky, hard left hand. Lubin's good at lulling you to sleep a little bit. He'll tap, 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 tap. And then all of a sudden, boom, he'll come with something hard, real sharp.
Solid,
real,
man.
Yeah, you know, so Lubin's a really tricky guy in there. You know, like I said, he'll throw some like touch jabs, blah 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 blah. Then all of a sudden, it just changes up, speed, boom, 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 like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, bah, 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 boom, boom, like on the turn of a dime. He's real good at throwing that little feint. You know what I mean? Gives you that little dip and then, boom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's real, real crafty and sneaky. And you know, I'm sitting there saying to myself, why is Gachet waiting? Blah 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 blah. But then I'm thinking to myself, well, you know. He knows who he's in there with. He knows that the guy can punch with the left hand. He knows the guy is explosive. He knows the guy's quick. He knows the guy's sneaky.
Yeah.
He didn't want to get sucked into anything. You know what I mean? So. But
tough one. It was, you know, I like Gachet. Gachet's from Ohio, title town.
Not Manny Robles did a horrible job in the corner though with Gachet. He was telling him to, you know, pick it up and stuff, but. He needed to tell him that with more of a sense of urgency. He needed to tell him he was behind, you know?
A lot of people don't do that anymore. You notice that? Like, a lot of people don't Teddy Atlas here anymore. I mean,
yeah, you know.
He needed
Teddy
Atlas in that corner last night.
No, not Teddy Atlas.
Teddy
Atlas
is the greatest
of all
time.
Emmanuel Stewart. Remember Emmanuel?
That's not an option. He's dead. That's not an option.
Whoa, come on.
I mean, you passed away. What are you going to say? I'm just saying that Teddy Atlas is a viable option.
A little more delicate with that. A little more delicate. That was one of my – that was, you know, I have a soft spot in my heart for Emmanuel Stewart. He's my favorite trainer of all time. I actually interviewed Emmanuel Stewart, one of my best interviews of all time. I love Emmanuel Stewart. But he was classic in there. Oh, he was hilarious. Funniest thing, he's cussing out Jermaine Taylor. I told you this fight was going to be like this. I told you. I told you. You wanted to take this fight. I told you this is how I was going to be. I told you this is how I was going to be. I go out there and get him. Lots of punches.
You wanted to take this fight. I told you not to take this fight.
Oh, fucking hilarious. And then he was yelling at Vladimir. And then Vladimir went out there and knocked out freaking Eddie Chambers.
You remember when he yelled at Lennox Lewis?
Yeah. Yeah,
that was good.
The Mike Tyson fight?
Yeah.
He was the best. I loved him.
Who do you think was a better interview, Emmanuel Stewart or Christina Hammer?
Don't do this to me.
I'm just asking questions, man. That's what I do. I'm asking. I don't know. I'm curious, man.
They were different. No, I don't want to compare the two.
They were different, huh?
kind of like Christina Hammer too. Something about her, man.
They were different.
That accent, everything, you know.
Stupid. They were different.
They were a little different. You know, you don't want to compare the two. Come on. No, I love him. I love Emmanuel Stewart, man.
Yeah, I do too.
When he passed away, I was upset.
That was bad, man. Yeah, I was a big Tommy Hearns fan. I was so young age.
I used to love him as a commentator too. You know, I used to love what he used to do. You know what I'm going to say, right? Guy would land a big shot. Oh, it's over.
It's all over.
Like every time a guy landed a big shot, oh, it's over.
What was it when Mayweather clocked that kid, man? What was his name? That the Mexican kid. What's his name? The kid I can't stand. He clocked him like after the – it was like on a break, and he went to hug him, and he smacked him.
Oh, Victor Ortiz.
Yeah.
He goes, oh, remember when Mayweather did?
He was like, man.
I loved him.
Oh, still was awesome, man.
Oh, I loved him.
That's so great. He was the best.
He was the best.
All right, let's talk about Jerron Ennis, Boots Ennis, versus Juan Carlos Abreu. and it scores a 6-round TKO over Abreu. He was all over this guy.
He was sharp.
Yeah, he looked good, and Abreu didn't look that great, man. Abreu came in, get this, 3 pounds overweight, decided to go ahead and fight, give up 20% of his purse. So, B, let me break this down for you. He gave up 20% of his purse, got knocked down in the fifth and sixth rounds. I think he ended up with 3 knockdowns total, ended up getting laid out in the 6th round. That's a bad night, man. That's a bad night.
And this looked good, though, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He really did. I thought he looked good.
Sharp.
Yeah, he looked pretty sharp, man. And then let's see here. What else was on there? King Tug, Tugstock Niambar versus Cobia Breedy. Cobia Breedy was undefeated coming in here, man. But yeah. Niambar wins a split decision, 115-111, 114-112 for Breedy and 114-113. Niambar dropped Breedy in the first 2 rounds. But Breedy came back, made a fight of it, was busier, was definitely busier in the later rounds. But, you know, what was it? Ray Flores, the guy from Showtime. I think he's that Showtime announcer. You know who I'm talking about, right?
Mm.
He was tweeting at Teddy Atlas because Teddy Atlas said that, you know, this is a weak Showtime card. And, you know, he just called him bitter and everything. Listen, man, it was a weak Showtime card. It was.
I'm going to disagree. I thought it was a good card. I thought it was a decent card. I watched it this morning because I fell asleep and I was on the trip. No, because I can't stay up late anymore. You know, I'm turning 51 years old. I mean, you know, no, because I worked. I've been working.
It was a great card. I fell asleep during the card though. I had to watch it in the morning.
No, because you know it's a time. You know it's a time thing. You know it's a time thing. Come on.
Same.
Please, come on. Come on. You're nice, though. You're nice. So I watched it this morning, and I was like, this is a pretty solid card. I liked the card. Now, on paper, the Lubin fight was going to be a little bit more exciting.
Yeah.
But it still had its moments.
On paper, that was the best fight of the night.
It was,
no question.
It was kind of like a chess match a little bit. I thought, you know, but then it picked up a little bit in the eighth round. It was. Overall, I think it was a decent fight. It wasn't a bad fight, but it was a good matchup of two contenders, you know, vying for a title shot again, you know. So it was a significant, good matchup. Overall,
yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'll give that card a B last night. I thought it was a B.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think it was probably a C.
No.
Solid C.
I liked it. I'm going to be honest. I liked the card.
The UFC put on Colby Covington and Tyron Woodley last night.
That's a good
one. And that was a good one. I mean, that's on ESPN Plus for, you know, for
you're not gonna,
ESPN
but,
Plus.
But okay.
Not, I mean,
but,
that's,
but,
a,
but,
that's a difficult one to beat.
So that wasn't even a pay-per-view. That was an ESPN Plus.
ESPN
yeah,
Plus.
Know,
man,
well, you know what? We'll give it to the UFC then. That was well, again, but what were the rest of the fights?
They were good, man. They had that Russian guy, Shigaev, was on there. That guy knocked him out in one punch. Cowboy Cerrone was on there.
Okay.
Yeah, it was
okay.
A good card. I mean, it was a good card, man.
So we'll give it to UFC. They had a better card than Showtime. Okay, that's fine. I mean, but there's going to be nights like that. There's also going to be nights when boxing will have a better card than them. It's like
– Well, and I will tell you this. So Showtime – or not Showtime, but UFC has got that big pay-per-view coming up with Paulo Costa and Stylebender Adesanya.
Yeah.
And that one looks – I mean, that's a great main event, but the rest of their card is just, for me anyway, as a casual guy on it, kind of subpar, man.
To be fair, I'm a casual MMA fan.
Yeah.
But to be fair, they are more consistent with that, you know, with quality cards. There's no question about it.
They really are, man.
They're more consistent.
But
and
I think – go ahead.
And I got to take my hat off to Dana White because he's doing this all throughout the, you know, all with the pandemic.
Yeah. You know, and I'm with you. I think that the reason it's consistent is it's one entity. It's a lot easier to make fights in the UFC. Than
these guys need to take the fight so they don't, there's nowhere to go.
Yeah.
They have to take the fight. Or that's it. So.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, man, it's, that's one of those things, man. It's,
But Teddy, all of a sudden, like he's got the pom-poms of UFC. Like,
well, Teddy's a fight fan. I think Teddy just wants to see the best fight the best. You know,
yeah, everyone's jumping all over Teddy, but they're saying he should get a job at the UFC.
Well, you know what? I think that's wrong. I don't think anybody should be jumping all over Teddy for his opinions.
No, Teddy, and again, I'm not a huge Teddy Atlas fan, but if He has a legitimate point here with this. I mean, they are putting on.
What are you talking about?
You fucking love this guy. I just don't like him, bro.
Why? What's wrong with Teddy Ellis? He trained Mike Tyson.
I don't like guys where you have a conversation with them, and out of nowhere, he just starts screaming and yelling. I don't like the theatrics. I just don't. I don't like him. Imagine
how many arguments do you get in on here with Collins and Jason and everybody else? You just talk, all of a sudden you yell and screaming at them.
That's a snapshot in time. That's just a snapshot in time. I don't act like that all the time. Teddy Atlas would just be, you'll be having a.
He's shaking it up.
You ask Teddy Atlas, pass the salt. Oh, he is a salt. Like, you know, everything's dramatic with this guy. Like, everything's over the top. Teddy, how you doing today? Teddy, what time is it? It's 12 o'clock. It's like the guy just goes over the top with everything. He just tries too hard to be controversial. I think he forces it a little bit too much. And then he always knows when the camera's on him. Remember, every time like they would put the camera on him when he was training a fighter, you're going to cry tomorrow. You're going to cry. We're firemen.
That was the best. Let me tell you what. That was the best one.
That was ridiculous.
With him and Tim Bradley, when he was like, we're firemen. If you can't get hyped up after that, man, you got to check your pulse.
I almost had to go to the bathroom and just throw up after that. That was just too much.
How dare you?
He's corny, bro. Come on.
Oh.
And then Michael Moore, when he's fighting Evander Holyfield, and then he goes and sits
in his seat. You want me to go fight? You want me to
go
fight for you?
I mean, Teddy, come on.
Come on, man.
You know what I love one time?
Gold, son.
I love what Al Bernstein said. He goes like this. He goes, you know, Teddy Atlas never met a camera he didn't like. He always knows when the camera's on him.
How dare you. How dare you. Al Bernstein. Insane. All right.
Go ahead.
Let's take it to the schedule here, the upcoming fights here. See what's on here. Da-da-da. All right, September 23rd, Los Angeles on Fox Sports 1, Nestor Bravo versus Jose Luis Gallegos, 10 rounds lightweight. Who is this? Who's putting this on?
Who's Nestor Bravo? I like that name.
Nestor Bravo.
Sounds like a porn
Bravo,
star.
Nestor Bravo, baby.
Porn star, Nestor Bravo.
Porn star, Nestor Bravo.
Nestor
Bravo. He saunters in with a big bathrobe on.
Who are
these guys, man?
I don't know. That's hilarious. Nestor Bravo. Oh my god.
So when is the 25th here? Is that Friday?
That's Friday.
All right. So September 25th in Tijuana, Mexico. I just want to make sure I got my dates right here.
Wow.
Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. versus Mario Abel Casares. No 10 rounds, light heavyweights, no, TV or whatever on it. So, I don't know. I'm assuming it's going to be a walkover. I don't know. Julio, this is not a misprint. Julio Cesar Chavez Sr. versus Jorge Arce in an exhibition fight.
Exhibition?
I don't mind that too much. You know, you fight these older guys, man, they fight in the exhibitions, they keep in shape. Can't hate on that.
Yeah, you let them have fun once in a while.
Yeah, of course, man. September 26th, Saturday, from London on ESPN Plus, Josh Taylor versus Epanun Kongsong. 12 rounds for Taylor's IBF and WBA junior welterweight title. I expect Josh Taylor to walk that fight pretty easy. Charlie Edwards versus Kyle Williams, 10 rounds bantamweights. And that is the co-main on there. September 26th, from Uncasville, Connecticut, Showtime pay-per-view, Showtime PBC pay-per-view, Jamal Charlo versus Sergey Derevchenko, 12 rounds for Charlo's WBC middleweight title. Jermell Charlo versus Jason Rosario, 12 rounds for the WBC, WBA, and all the marbles. Unification right there, everything but the WBO. Brandon Figueroa versus Damian Vasquez. John Ryo Casimiro versus Duke Micah, Mario Barrios versus Ryan Carl, and Louis Neri versus Aaron Almeida. 12 rounds for the vacant WBC featherweight title. And we'll go into that more in detail here in a minute. September 26th from Munich on DAZN. Uniel Dorticos versus Maris Bredas, 12 rounds for Dorticos, IBF cruiserweight title. In case you're wondering, this is the World Boxing Super Series final that started, what, back in 1973? It seems like this thing has been going on forever, man. And this is the cruiserweight final. We already had a cruiserweight champion. We ain't no need to do this again. I don't get it. I don't get it. And that's the fights for the weekend. Let's talk about this Charlo card here. In all seriousness, you know, Jose Mendoza says, how about those Cowboys? They came back. That was a great, great win for them today. But back to boxing here. So, you know, you and I, we're a different breed. We're degenerates. We're going to buy this pay-per-view. We got nothing going on in life. We're sad. We're sad sacks.
I like the card, too.
You know, for me, I like the card's okay. The card's good for me. I mean, if this was on Showtime, Jesus, I'm glued to the TV.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what you're paying for. You can be glued to the TV anyway. But, dude, I mean, like, for your average person.
Yeah, you're right. Casual fan's not going to buy it.
$75 to watch this?
Casual fan's not going to buy it.
There hasn't been a lot of hype for this either. You know, I mean, there really hasn't been. There hasn't been a lot of hype for it. And I was talking to Robert. I talked to Ringside Robbie last week, and he was saying that he reminded me that, and I think we said it too, that it's a Showtime pay-per-view, not a Fox pay-per-view. And there's a world of difference. World of difference between the promotion between those two. This thing is going to tank, and it's going to tank big time.
Yeah. I don't want to be negative, but If it breaks 200, I'll be shocked.
This should have been on Showtime, or it should have been on Fox. Really, this should have been on Fox. Not Fox,
you know,
pay-per-view. It should have been on Fox.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know what?
No question.
Give
some guys some exposure.
I love what Bob said, and this is what I said to Bob. I'm like, you know, Bob, it's good that they're going to be on ESPN, Lomachenko and TFT. They're going to be in front of they're going to have a lot of eyeballs glued to the TV set.
Yeah.
How many people have ESPN? He goes, exactly what I told them. That's exactly what I told them. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a fighter, the goal is to make as much money as you can, but you still want to be able to promote yourself. You still want to be able to reach out to people that normally wouldn't see you, right? You want to touch as many people as possible. You want to have as many eyeballs on you as possible. And, you know, this is not the right card to put on paper. For that to happen. If you were to put this fight on regular Fox and people would, you know, these are can't miss fights. I think they're going to be great fights, right? Put it on regular Fox. People watch these fights. They're going to be like, wow, this is. They're going to stay and watch the whole fight. They're going to watch the whole card.
Right.
You know,
and you don't necessarily need.
And they'll come back again if you show them a good show, you know, this one time, right?
Right.
So
that's the thing, man. I mean, I think these are good fights. I think those top two fights are really good. The two headliners are really good.
They're decent fights,
but are they worth $75? No.
No, you're right. People aren't gonna buy it.
So I mean, if you're gonna go over your friend's house and, you know, do a pay-per-view with a bunch of you and your buddies or whatever and do it that way. I mean, yeah, I guess, you know, paying $10 for a card or whatever, or splitting the card up, yeah, that's fine. But if you're at home and you're watching it by yourself and you're deciding whether, you know, should I watch it? No.
Yeah, people aren't going to
No question watch. About it. No question about it. Let's talk about the top two here. Jermell Charlo versus Jason Rosario here. I think you got to favor Charlo in this one. I think he wins this fight. I think he wins it fairly easily. I don't think it's a rough fight for him at all. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know, but I think that he beats Jason Rosario like a government mule, man.
Yeah, it could be interesting, but I would favor Charlo as well.
Yeah, and then this is the more interesting one, man. Jermall Charlo versus Sergey Derevchenko, 12 rounds. This is a tough one.
I got a feeling Chenko's going to win this one.
I got a feeling it is too. Yeah, I got to lean toward Derevchenko in this fight, man.
I like Chenko.
Yeah, I would be surprised. I don't think Charlo's going to be able to get him out of there. I think he's too strong. I think he can take a shot. I mean, he took Triple G's shots. He's definitely should be able to take Charlo's shots. Charlo's a little bit faster than Triple G, I think, at this stage, but I don't think it's going to matter. Derevchenko, you could argue that he beat Danny Jacobs.
I thought he beat Danny Jacobs.
You could argue that he beat Triple G.
I thought he beat Triple G.
But, you know, he's getting the shot based on what? Two losses.
Very debatable losses, though.
Right.
Very debatable losses.
You know, let's put it this way. I wouldn't – remember what Freddie Pacheco said, the rules of betting? He said you never want to bet on a fighter who's overweight. And he said the other one was so brilliant. He says never bet on a winner when you could – or never bet on a loser when you could bet on a winner. And he's right. And it's tough. If I were betting, I wouldn't bet this fight. But I lean toward Derevchenko, but I can't tell you, you know –
if someone gave you 2-1 odds, you wouldn't bet Derevchenko on this fight?
It's tough because he's getting his reputation here on two losses.
Let's think
about that though. That's true though. And if it goes to the cards, which we suspected it will.
What about Marquez? How many times they gave him the loss against Pacquiao when he really won? And then what happened?
Yeah. No, I hear you. But say with the Derevchenko. All right, it goes to the cards. Can you see him beating him in the decision?
Well, it's the same thing with De La Hoya. I mean, De La Hoya kept getting all those close decisions, and then all of a sudden, and then the tables would turn on him in the Mosley fight, right?
Right.
So that can only last so long. You know what I mean? And after a while, people are going to be like, you know. So. I don't know, man. I think Derevchenko may stop him, to be honest with you.
Really?
I think so.
I tell you what, man. Derevchenko's a solid. They're both good fighters. I think Derevchenko is really good. But Charlo is the house fighter, so if it goes to a decision, if it goes to a decision, man, I don't know.
Yeah, it could. It could be tough for Derevchenko to get a decision in this fight. I'm not saying it's not, but I don't know. I just have a feeling he's going to get the victory this time.
I would hope so. I tell you what, because if anybody deserves it, it's him. Because like you said, those were two disputed losses.
I thought he clearly won the Golovkin fight.
I thought that was fairly clear. Yeah, I thought that was really clear.
The Jacobs fight, okay, you know, you could say that could have gone either way. I still think he won that fight.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, you know, that's my opinion, but
he's a solid fighter, man. No question about it.
He's a real tough. He's a tough cookie, man.
He's the guy, man. He really is. And hopefully this is his shot, you know, because I don't know how many more shots he's going to get. I got to be honest. If you think about it, you know, you got a chance to fight Jacobs. You got a chance to fight Triple G. How many big names are you going to get? Because this is not an easy out. This is not a guy that people want to fight. He's a rough fighter. He's a good fighter. He's not the kind of guy that you're going to put on your guy for a showcase.
Look at the odds here. Derevchenko is a plus 155, and Charlo is a minus 175. Those are
close odds. Those are real close odds. What about the Rosario fight? What about the Jason Rosario fight?
Charlo's a huge. Rosario's like a plus 330.
Yeah, that's not a good. Yeah, I would have liked to seen a better. I don't know. I don't. It's a unification. What are you going to do?
Teofimo's a Teofimo is a plus 260.
Yeah.
Joe Joyce is a plus 345 against Daniel Dubois.
Wow. I should have made him a plus 15.
My man Santa Cruz, though, plus 345. I'm taking that.
That's not bad.
Povetkin is an underdog, man, in the rematch. He's a plus 190.
I thought he was winning that fight. I thought White was winning that fight prior to the knockout.
Yeah.
Take it back to the Teofimo fight. What is he, plus 260?
Plus 260, yeah.
That's a big one. That's a pretty big.
I already told Lois to free up the funds. We're putting a lot of money on Lopez.
I'll tell you what, that's a do-or-die fight for him. I really think it is. I think that's a do-or-die fight for him. All the trash he talks, everything, man. No, Santa Cruz is not the favorite. He talks a lot of trash and everything like that, and he's real flashy. He's real. A loss at this stage of his career against this guy, that could be bad for him. For his confidence sake,
He's already got you know, some issues, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, he does. Yeah, he really does.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, I don't know. That's a tough one, man. It really is.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to our news and rumors here. Okay, so on Friday, September 18th, Aaron Snow, former trainer of Mike Tyson, posted on social media that Panama Lewis had passed away. Now, I can't find any real confirmation on this, but if it's true, you know, our prayers, our thoughts and prayers are with his family. Sure. Panama Lewis was best known for his cornering of Titletown's own Aaron Pryor and Louis Resto. Was it Louis Resto? Where is he from?
I can't remember.
I can't remember either. I want to say Boston, but that was, what's his name? Billy, who's the guy he fought?
Billy Collins?
Was it Billy Collins?
Billy Collins.
Billy Collins. That's it. Yeah. And I'll be real honest. I mean, I don't have confirmation of it other than what Aaron Snow, you know, I don't know why Aaron Snow would post it if it's not real. But you know, he says Louis Resto was from New York. So let me ask you this, Beeb. Is this news? I mean, is this mainstream news? Because Panama Lewis is a very either liked him or you didn't like him, and most people did not like him.
Well, I mean, it's hard to.
And given the fact that what he's done with boxing and everything like that, that's a tough one, you know. And I can understand why people are not reporting it if that's the case.
Yeah, I still think they would report it though. You know what I mean? I don't think they would not report it.
I would think so, but he's been suspended from boxing.
A lifetime ban, yeah.
Yeah, he's the only one with a lifetime ban?
Well, Resto had a lifetime ban too.
Yeah, I was gonna say, yeah, him and Resto, yeah. And that was the one. Didn't he say there was antihistamines in the Arguello fight, the prior Arguello fight? There was antihistamines. Now Pryor.
Primitin.
Yeah, now Pryor says there was schnapps in there. He said it was like peach schnapps or something like that. I read Pryor's book, and he said there was peach schnapps in there.
I don't believe that.
Well, I didn't believe it either. But if you read Pryor's book, I think it's called Flight of the Hawk or something like that. It's his autobiography or whatever. Really good read. If you guys get a chance to get your hands on that book, go get your hands on the book. It's one of the only books I've ever read, like story books, you know, that I've read like cover to cover. It was amazing.
Sure.
He says in there, I mean, he's real, like, as far as his, you know, he goes deep into his life. And I mean, deep. And he talks about Sugar Ray Leonard. He talks about the fact that it was him that turned Sugar Ray Leonard down, not the other way around. They offered him
They offered him $500,000. It's on YouTube. And he wanted more money.
Well, he said that there was something in there also where I don't think he just didn't want the fight. I think he just didn't want the fight at that time.
On YouTube, he was being interviewed, right? And they asked him, you know, Sugar Ray Leonard. He goes, "Yeah, they offered me $500,000." He goes, "That's not enough." There could have been more behind it. I don't know.
Yeah, and they said that, and he was real, like, about his childhood and everything like that. He was real upfront about a lot of like very personal things and that kind of thing. And so for him to say it was schnapps when he could have easily said it was antihistamines, I don't know. I mean,
both things are illegal. So it
well, sure. No. Not excusing either one, obviously.
No. I know. I'm not saying you are, but I'm just saying both things are illegal. But
yeah,
you know, this is what people don't understand. Like people think that PEDs just came about like yesterday. You know what I mean? Like back in the day, fighters were taking like freaking amphetamines. They were doing like all types of crazy shit. Everyone was doing whatever they had to do to get an edge.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know, baseball players like in the 50s, they were taking like fucking speed and shit.
But I never heard Panama Lewis say it was antihistamines in that bottle. Or did he?
I
thought Louis Resto said that.
There's an asthma medicine called Primitin.
Yes.
And that they said they crushed up the pills and they put it in the
But that's what he did for Resto, and that's what Resto said about Pryor, that he crushed the that's what was in like Pryor's bottle. But I never heard Panama Lewis cop to it, and I never heard Aaron Pryor cop to that.
Yeah. I'll never know, but I suspect I suspect that there was a stimulant in that bottle,
And Pryor, I guess, you know, for Aaron Pryor or whatever, We'll never know. I mean, obviously, we'll never know what was in there. But and I know what Louis Resto said was in there, but again, I've never heard Panama Lewis or Aaron Pryor say that. And the only person I've had is Pryor said that it was schnapps. So I kind of, you know, and like I said, if you read his book and you saw how open he was with stuff, just like Mike Tyson when he, you know, he was really open about the Desiree Washington thing in his one-man show or whatever, the One Night Only or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so for him to lie is kind of like, why would he lie about that? Why would he lie about, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I don't know, but
yeah, it's Primatin.
Yeah, Primatin Mist or whatever, or Primatin tablets or whatever it was, you know. Yeah,
yeah, the tablets that have like pseudoephedrine in them.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I mean, some people, you know, he was very hated in the world of boxing, especially after the Collins incident.
Back in the day, they used to put like the real ephedrine and stuff until it became illegal.
Right.
Now they put like, you know, pseudoephedrine, phenylephrine, whatever. And they put the weaker kinds in now. But back in the day, some of those medicines, those asthma medicines were really strong. Like they were,
they get you
going, bro.
It's insane.
You know,
man.
A lot of those stimulants, they're like precursors to like amphetamines. You know, you add a couple, you add like another molecule here and there, and you can make a friggin' amphetamine out of these things. You know.
You know what's funny is I remember talking to my brother and sister-in-law, and they're both doctors, and I remember talking to them about the situation where, you know, about with the ephedrine and stuff like that and this and that. They had no clue. I mean, because it's not what it's used for. They use it for, you know, treating this and treating that, and it never occurred to them to use it for athletic training or something like that. I mean,
I took the ephedrine before, like back in the 90s, and that shit is like,
it was real big back then, though.
It was incredible. No, but people used to say that, oh, it was dangerous and stuff like that. And you know, the problem is like when I was taking it, I had like I always had a gallon of water by my side, because when you take that stuff, because it was like a stack. It was like ephedrine, caffeine, and white willow bark, and they would put like another herbs. It's called bitter orange.
Yeah,
which is it's from the same family, but it's a little bit different. It's not as strong. So they had like a compound with all three of those in there. It was called Xanadrine. Remember that example?
I remember Xanadrine, yeah.
And I was taking that one summer, and the weight just melted. Oh my God.
Really?
But I always had a gallon of water next to me, because I would piss every 2 hours.
Wow.
Every hour and a half, 2 hours, I would piss, because the shit just makes you piss.
Like a big water pill almost.
Yeah, and if you don't drink, then you're in trouble. Like a lot of those athletes that have problems with it, they would die from like heat exhaustion and stuff, because they weren't drinking water. You got to drink water.
Wow. Same. Before we go to the phones, let's talk about our train wreck of the week here. Not a difficult one to figure out here. So this is coming from TMZ. Floyd Mayweather versus Logan Paul. And I know you made a video about this, Beeb, earlier in the week. Yeah. So from TMZ, sources close to Mayweather, tell TMZ Sports the undefeated legend has been approached with an offer to fight the YouTube star sometime in 2020. But as of now, no one has signed on the dotted line. The fight was not pitched as a sanctioned bout, but rather an exhibition. Now, there have been rumblings about the 43-year-old Mayweather stepping in to take on Logan Paul, but we're told that Mayweather is leaning toward no. What do you make of this? I mean, the fact that they haven't come out and squashed this.
He always has to float out these things just to get attention. It's
just
always
nonsense. Yeah.
Always around the time when there's a big fight coming up. Like, you know, he's always trying to steal someone's thunder.
It's
just fade away into the sunset, man. You've done it all. You should have I don't know. Like, why do you still want to do this stuff? I don't know. I don't know what to say, man. Everyone,
I don't get him.
I don't know what's going on inside this guy's head. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't get him at all, man. I really don't.
I'll never be able to figure this guy out.
No. And, you know, this is not I mean, Logan Paul has what, a professional, one professional fight or maybe two professional fights?
Two.
And he's lost them both, or he drew and lost, or why, what are, thought, we really are we really talking about this fight, man?
I thought Logan Paul got screwed over in that second fight with KSI. The guy,
I thought the referee screwed him.
I can't stand Jack Reese. He's horrible.
Logan Paul's from Titletown, baby.
Yeah, I like Logan Paul.
I think if anybody had a chance to beat Mayweather, it's Logan Paul, no?
Yeah. Okay.
It's from Titletown, Beeve. Cold-blooded, man.
That's
cold-blooded. Dillian White, Alexander Povetkin rematch is set for November 21st. That's a good one. And then we had a show earlier on in the week of the Canelo and Golden Boy and DAZN lawsuit. Basically, what we kind of, if you didn't get a chance to see it, go check it out. We talked about that, said that basically that De La Hoya, the big news here is De La Hoya could be on the hook for that money because he's responsible for paying Canelo. So, I don't know, Beav, any new developments here?
Nothing I've heard. I can't wait to see how that's going to play out. So.
It's crazy, right? It's crazy. Let's go to the phones here. 805, is that Nacho? 805, you're live.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, Nach?
I've thought local forever.
Hey, Beam, come on.
My Margarito's a G. Margarito is an old school G, bro.
I know you like to bash on Margarito. It's fine. No big deal. You know.
Do you think Margarito got jumped into a gang?
Yeah.
No, I never heard anything about that.
You don't?
I never heard anything about
he's
that.
A,
like
he's,
Doug Fisher, Doug Fisher and Steve Kim covered him. Doug Fisher and Steve Kim covered him for years, and we never heard about him being around any kind of gang members at any point. So if Beeb knows this information, then, I mean, he knows. I guess he must know somebody I never heard
Robert,
of because I never heard anything.
Robert Garcia was talking about Margarito, right? He's, like, saying that this guy was, like, a gangster back in the day.
Was he?
Yeah. It's common knowledge.
Wow.
Okay.
I heard Robert Garcia say it on ES News to Ellie Setback.
I got to be honest, though. He didn't look like a gangster in those pictures. Do you see the pictures with him and that puppy? He had a dog. It was him and his wife. Did you see those? They're floating around the internet. You know what I'm talking about? He's got him and his puppy. And he's holding an umbrella and stuff like that. He's wearing glasses.
Things change when you get older, you know? Things change when you get older.
Yeah, he looked like a real gangster then, didn't
Rocky,
he?
Like, Rocky used to be a leg breaker back in the day, and then he got domesticated.
He got domesticated.
Rocky was collecting for the
dog
for the fucking shysters, Beef.
Rocky used to break legs, and he started wearing double-breasted suits.
As far as the fights this weekend, Lubin, he took apart Gaucher, who honestly I thought he kind of looked very timid for most of the fight, and I thought that Lubin pretty much did whatever he wanted last night. He really didn't do anything. He didn't do anything to change the tide of that fight at any point. Lubin just went after him and just pretty much, you know, took him apart from the outside and was able to beat him pretty handily. So I'd like to see Lubin, you know, take on the winner of either Charlo or, you know, Rosario, whoever, see what happens with that one. With the King Tug fight, that one, I have to give this Brady guy a lot of credit. I had never heard of the guy, but he went in there and gave him a fight. And if it wasn't for those two knockdowns, man, I would hate to see what the hell the judges would have scored that fight, because those scores were horrible. I had the same scorecard as Farhood did, which was 116-110 for King Tug. And for them to give him a split decision, I was like, wow.
I had it 114. I had it 114 and 112 for King Tug. I had it even in rounds, bro.
Okay. Well, I could possibly see that, but I thought that King Tug won that fight pretty handily, you know. I thought Brady had moments where he looked good.
Yeah.
But, you know, I thought he won that fight. But Yeah, I mean, it's a good thing he got the knockdowns, because if not, he probably might have ended up losing that fight. So, the way they scored it. So, you know, we'll see what happens, see who he gets next. With Ennis, I mean, I thought Abreu was going to put up a fight, but, man, talk about steamrolling a guy. That was unbelievable how he was able to take him apart. At this point, I think Jared – yeah, I think Jared Ennis is like Virgil Ortiz. I think they have to start looking for guys in the top 15, top 20 at this point, because there's no point in putting in them against these gatekeeper guys. They're just they're too good for them. I think you got to start getting guys in there who can legitimately, you know, put up a fight at this point. These gatekeeper dudes aren't doing anything. They're not much of a test. So I'd like to see him take on somebody. Yeah, he's got, 23 fights now? Yeah.
No, he's only 25, 26 fights, I thought.
Oh,
I could be
okay,
mistaken.
Well,
I was looking at his box for today. I think he has, 25 fights, 26 fights.
Oh,
he's getting up there in fights.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, the whole gatekeeper thing, like, they need to, you know, stop with that already and try to give this guy somebody in the top 15 at least, because I think he's ready for that.
Looking at his box track right now, he's got 26 fights with 24 knockouts.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you're right. So
no joke.
Yeah, it's kind of time to move on to the. nice of you to find the picture, Eric.
I'm just saying, you know.
that is pretty funny, though. So I have to admit. And then
people get older.
You guys were,
yeah, of course.
Yeah, I mean, that picture must be post retirement, because it looks like he's got that messed up eye. Eric, he didn't have that eye before.
Oh,
so,
yeah,
I think that fight.
Yeah, he's a gangster.
Wow.
Then
I think that
he's
picture
a gangster,
was after.
That's how it is.
That's how he's rolling. That's how he's rolling.
He's
and
a,
then
he's
with
an OG, bro.
Yeah, with Pedraza and Molina, I agree with you guys. I think Pedraza is just he's one of those guys who's like a B-plus level fighter, where he's good enough to beat guys who aren't on his level, but then when he takes on guys who are legitimately, you know, better than he is, he just comes up a little bit short. And, I mean, I'd like to see him take on Jose, not Ramirez, Zepeda again, because he did ask for that rematch. I wouldn't mind seeing that one again, see if he can avenge that loss, or, you know, or if Zepeda takes him out again. But Zepeda's got Baranchuk to worry about.
Who's that welterweight we had on the show that we interviewed him? He's a PBC guy too.
Oh, man, I can't remember his name. From Minnesota, right?
Yeah.
Oh, Jamal James?
Yes.
Yeah, well, he should fight Jamal James, bro. That'd be a
good
fight for him.
I mean, I think so. That would be a solid fight, but I mean, I don't know if Pedraza would want to go up to 47, though. That's the thing.
No,
you
I'm talking about Ennis.
Ennis is 47 as well. Oh, okay,
I'm thinking Ennis.
No,
I'm sorry. I was talking about Ennis.
Oh, okay, yeah. I think that would be a good fight for Ennis. I do, because, I mean, Jamal James does have a paper title. Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, that would be a good
– Yeah, him and
– That would definitely be a good fight.
Him and Ennis would be a good fight.
Yeah. Or what about Ugas?
That would be a good fight, too.
Yeah, I think Ugas would be a
good fight. Yeah, that would be a real good fight.
I wouldn't mind seeing Ugas fight Jamal James again, too, man. That would be a good fight. You know, PBC is stacked. They have no reason not to make good fights over there, bro.
Yeah, but it seems like they always do, B. They always make these tune-up fights for all these guys instead of matching them up against each other.
They should be making better fights than what they're making, put it that way.
They got to
step it up, though.
They all got to step it up, though. They all have to step it up.
They got to step it up, bro.
Because Teddy Atlas is right.
No, he's right. Teddy Atlas is right.
Yeah.
Teddy Atlas was
right. Yeah, there's only so many tune-ups these guys should be getting at this point, you know? So... I agree. I think they got to make some better matches.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, that's my call, and I'm sure you guys got other people on the line. So.
That's why Nacho was caller of the year.
Nacho.
Nacho was caller of the
Nacho.
Year.
Yeah.
Vatos Locos forever.
That's right.
Vatos
siempre.
Vatos Locos forever.
That's right.
I'm
going to
start calling you as
Orale.
Vatos Locos. Vatos Locos.
Orale.
It is. It is. Me and B, man, we're getting good at Spanish, man.
Yeah, getting good.
We're getting solid at Spanish, man. I'll tell you that right now. I mean.
Chale.
Chale Holmes.
Chale
See, we're good, man. I mean, we are.
Chale Holmes.
I'll tell you what.
Orale.
I might go ahead and just start marketing this in the Spanish markets. You know what I mean? Why not? Why not? I think we got it, son. I think we got it. So what'd you think of the margarita pitcher, huh? Him and his dog. You remember him and his family? There was another pitcher floating around. I couldn't find it. But it was him and his family. He had like an umbrella, and his wife was, I guess his wife was there with him, and then he had that stupid dog.
He divorced. Him and his other wife got divorced, but then he married another beautiful woman. Like this guy.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, he's Margarito. I mean, of course. Of course, you know.
That's because he's a G, bro. When you're a G, you can get any girl you want. That's how it is, man. Blood in, blood out.
That's how he's living.
That's
how it is. Does he still have to put in work?
Nah, man.
He doesn't have to put in work anymore?
I mean, he's all set.
He's a G. He's got to put in work, right?
He already got the teardrop. He's all set.
That's a teardrop for Kodo. What you...
already got it, though.
That's cold-blooded, man. What's wrong with you?
He already
cold-blooded,
earned.
Man. It's already,
he already earned his spot, bro.
Oh, my goodness. All right, so we're going to go on record here. You're taking both Charlos, or you're taking Derevchenko and Charlo?
I'm taking Derevchenko, and I'm going to take Charlo.
I'm going to take Derevchenko. I'm going to go out on a limb, man. That's my upset special of the week, Derevchenko over Charlo. And Jason Rosario, is he really a live dog here?
You know, he's got a couple losses. I think he's stopped once, too.
That's a tough way to go in, man. That's a tough.
Did he catch J-Rock at the right time? I mean, I don't know. I was just impressed with the J-Rock victory. He just looked so good in that fight. But maybe was that like a halo effect? I don't know. Maybe I'm having like the halo effect right now. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, yeah, it's going to be tough one. I tell you what, that's an uphill fight for him, I'll be honest.
Yeah, Charlo had that. I thought Charlo did lose the first Tony Harrison fight, and I thought he was losing the second one before he got the stoppage. So Charlo can be outboxed.
Yeah. Reese Max in the chat, he says that the only one reporting the Panama Lewis thing is Aaron Snowell, which I said. Yeah, Aaron Snowell is the only one that I've seen reporting it, the only legit source reporting it.
Go ahead, finish what you were saying. I'm sorry.
No, I was saying that he's on a Aaron Snowell is the only legitimate source that I found reporting this. And the other ones are just picking it up from them or making stories out of it.
Yeah.
So, like I said, man, hopefully he's, you know, listen, man, I don't wish that upon anybody, man. So hopefully he's doing okay and healthy and everything. But if he's not, man, prayers to him and his family. So, I don't know for sure. I don't know.
I don't think the Rosario fight's going to be an easy fight for Charlo.
Nacho says that Rosario's on a roll. Don't underestimate him.
Yeah.
Son, Rosario's going to get stripped in that fight. I think so.
Yeah.
I don't see him. I just don't know how great, you know.
I think he's going to give him a tough fight, bro.
You think so? He's live then. All right.
I think he's live.
All right. There you go.
I'm going to stick with that.
Area code 614. 614, you're live.
Hey, guys. This is Marcus, Ohio Runs.
What's
Boston.
Happened?
Beeb, pretty good,
man. The best callers.
I mean, I haven't heard this guy in a New York minute. I'm so happy to hear him, man.
You know why you haven't heard him? Because he's busy. He's busy on his page promoting Ohio fighters, Beeb.
He's a G, too, man. He's from back in the day.
Old school, son.
He's old school.
Hey.
You don't realize he put in work back in the day.
Let me tell you what. Me and Marcus will tell you. If you ain't from Ohio, you from nowhere anyway. You know what I mean? That's the way it goes.
Right. Hey, man. Yesterday was hard.
That's Trump town, Ohio.
Trump.
I don't know if it's Trump Town, son. I don't know.
Trump won Ohio last.
I don't know if he's going to win it this time.
Trump's going to win in a landslide, man.
Oh, man. Y'all silly. How you guys been, man?
Good, man. So what did you think about Terrell Gashay last night, man? Were you disappointed like I was?
Oh, yeah. Very disappointed, man. I think sometimes, man, when you got opportunities like this, you would think a guy would put everything out on the line. And I think, you know, we as experts, you know, watch some of these guys. You would know when a fighter is really putting it out there and laying it all on the line. And then you got some fighters who are okay with the payday and just happy to be there for those moments, man. And I hate seeing that sometimes. Willie Monroe did the same thing with Billy Joe Saunders. I felt like he should have pressed the fight. He should have really took it to Billy Joe.
Yeah.
Especially when it's close.
You know. I thought Monroe won like five rounds. I don't know.
I had to go back and see that. He didn't look like he was going to win the fight. I go by body language. He was happy. It was almost like Danny Jacobs when he lost to Canelo. He was happy. Hey, I'm going home with $10 million, you know, $11 million. But that fight, you know what I'm talking about. But that fight was tough to watch, man. I think they both stepped it up at the end, but they should have been pushing. Both of them was cautious, man. Lubin, I was hoping one of those guys had a great performance to the point where people wanted to see them in the next big fight, wanted to see Lubin and Charlo, and they didn't pull that off. You know, they didn't pull that off. People were already got Lubin getting knocked out by Charlo. It's everywhere. So it's crazy. But it was frustrating seeing Lubin not Terrell not press up and attack. I thought he was going to press and put pressure on Lubin. And not let, you know, stay on the back and hit him with 1-2s. You can't, the 154 division, and when you step up in competition, 1-2s is not going to do it. It's just not going to do it, especially when you're not a power puncher. So,
no.
That was the tough thing, man, watching that. But Charles Conwell, he'll be fighting in a couple weeks. He's going to show you how to do it. The boy knows he's one of the truth guys that's coming out of Cleveland that's at 154. People are going to have to watch out for that one. That one you don't have to tell.
He's a solid fighter.
Press four.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's coming. He's going to bring it, so we don't have to. I just reached out. I got off of work, man, so I'm trying to see everything y'all was touching up on. I didn't see a job, but I heard he didn't look too good with Top Rank, so I didn't know how that went. But I heard a couple people tell me that he didn't look good. He went the distance, I believe.
Won just about every round, though.
He won just about every round.
So, yeah, it's tough to say he didn't look good. I mean, I don't know.
I wasn't crazy impressed with the performance, but he did get the victory. So, I mean, that's a positive note right there.
Hate
on him.
Yeah, I didn't. right. I mean, everybody wants knockouts down there every way, I guess. If you're knocking nobody out, it's not impressive.
I say it too now, so.
Yeah. That Charlo fight, man, in the Rosario, I do think it's going to be a closer fight. At first, I didn't. If Rosario come and box
a
little bit,
too,
if he boxes
a
little
good
bit
fight.
And mix it up, I think I'd like his chances. But if he stands inside the pocket, man, it's comfortable for Charlo. Charlo don't like to chase. You come right there, he's right there, you know, on the inside. So it's definitely going to be really, really interesting. But I like the Devchenko, man. I'm actually picking Devchenko to upset. I like Devchenko.
A lot of people picking Devchenko.
We both did, yeah. We both did, too.
Let's get that money, man. Let's have a pool. Let's get that money.
I thought y'all was about to cut
Yeah, we
out.
Both picked Devchenko to win, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm picking Devchenko, too.
Oh, it's unanimous then. I just think that's going to be a sleeper. I think that's going to be a real.
Jason's going to call in and start crying while I pick a Devchenko.
But anyway, little guys, baby. That's my call, man.
All right, man. OH.
All right.
IO.
There it is.
I'm in. Good deal. Check out Marcus' Facebook page, Ohio Runs Boxing. You catch him on there, man. He's got.
I love
all
that.
I do too, man.
I love that page. That page is awesome.
It's great, right? I mean, he's got all the facts. I mean,
he does a great job over there, bro.
He really does, and he does a good job of promotion. And
yeah.
I hope. I'll tell you what, man. I hope some of the promoters, some of the local promoters, throw him some coin from time to time to help him promote those fights. Because he does a better job than those promoters do. I'll be honest, I'll be real honest. I think he does a better job promoting Ohio fighters and promoting people from the town and just everything like that than those promoters do, because I'll hear about a fighter from him before I hear about a fighter anywhere else.
Yeah, he's
you know what I mean?
He does a good job.
Hopefully they're making it worth his while. You know what I'm saying? I know he does it because he loves it anyway, but, I mean, hopefully they're throwing in some coin his way.
Yep.
Area code 516, New York.
Jesse Rican. What's up, bro?
Jesse Rican, what's happening, man?
Hi, Jesse. How are you?
Hey, B. What's up, baby? I've been good. Bro, number one, can I promote myself real quick?
Can you promote yourself? You got a fight coming up?
A battle.
You got a rap battle? All right.
Yeah.
Can I get a flow? Can I get a quick flow?
Yeah, let's get a quick flow real quick.
Quick flow?
I don't want to give away too much of my material. I can't.
he said you got to pay for that, Beeb. You got to be at the show paying.
Hold on. The guy I'm battling was called Mass Messiah. I said, 40 Ounce Jess versus Mass Messiah. I'm a fucking beast. Yo. You didn't want somebody to see. 6 o'clock. I'm gonna go on. You didn't see somebody won mass this much since the priest. So that's one line. I'm
give him some flow. Do you think you can rap battle Beeb? Do you think Beeb can beat you?
Beeb's really dope.
I don't know, man.
Beeb's
dope.
I would never battle Beeb because that's my brother from another mother. Hopefully Beeb comes out there. Beeb, are you going to come out there?
What time is it going to be, man? If it's like 12 o'clock, I need it to be a little bit later in the day.
We're going to go on at 6.
All right, man. I need the limo to come down here and pick me up. I need
so where's this rap battle gonna be?
It's gonna be in Connecticut. It's not
right,
that far
so,
from me.
So it's 15 minutes away from Mohegan Sun. So now with the whole coronavirus going on, you guys have to wear
masks when you battle.
Not necessarily. I mean, mask is always going to be an essential part of it. I'm going to have a mask on, but obviously when I rap, I'm going to put my mask down, you know.
Right.
It's only 45 minutes. 15 minutes from Mohegan Sun. So if people are interested, I just got to know because there's only 45.
What's the name of the club? What's the name of the – is it like somebody's backyard or is it like a club or is this like, you know?
I think it's going to happen at a bar. But there's only 45 people left.
Wait.
Yeah.
Okay, so you want to promote this and you don't know where it's going to be.
I don't have the exact address, but it's 15 minutes away from Mohegan Sun, meaning there's only 45.
It's a pretty big area. I mean, 15 minutes.
How are you going to promote it, man?
No, but listen.
How are you
going to
promote it? You don't know where it's going to be.
There's only 45 spaces left, so if you're interested, hit me up directly. You get what I'm saying?
But where are they going?
It's a bar.
45 spaces though? like 45 spaces left in the state? I got to figure out I got to go to each bar to figure out which bar that the state is going to be.
No. I said if you DM me directly, then I could give it to you. What we don't want is an overcrowd of people coming. Because it's, you know, it's only 50. With social distancing, it's only 50 people allowed, you know? So
allowed where?
In the bar. So
what bar?
So you're keeping it a secret. And you're only gonna give like VIP people.
Correct.
So what exactly are you calling to promote then?
No, because if you're interested in coming, then you could hit me at JesseRegan1. That's my Twitter. Or
I'd love to be there, but I don't know where it's gonna be. See. Let me stop you real quick. Okay, in order to promote something, you got to have a time, you have to have a date, and most importantly, you have to have a
place. I told you I'm going to go on 6 p.m., October 17th.
Okay, that's great. But we need to know the most important thing, and that's where it is. See, am I wrong here?
That's what I'm saying.
Am I talking out of turn? I don't know. Because I've never rap battled before.
I think I have a decent flow.
I'm pretty good.
There's always a place, but we got to get it. We have to rock. We're ready to rock. We always have to have a place where we're ready to rock.
Remember Bobby Dunn used to fight in those warehouses? He would get the call, and then he was like, all right, he's at this place,
like,
and they just show up.
Remember that movie Lionheart, where they would just, like, fight? Like,
it's like one of Kimbo Slice's fights.
Just DM me.
Well, what if some other people would listen to the show would like to see you?
Jesse.
If you're only gonna have
50 people there, right? The first 50 people that respond, they're there. Then after that, everyone else
can't
go. That's it.
Am I wrong on how these rap battles work, Beeb? I thought it was kind of like on the spur of the moment. Like, you have to take a look at your guy and say that he's dressed whack or something.
Corona,
I don't know.
It's because of the coronavirus happening. So,
so the first 50 people that sign up, that's it. And then no one else can go. So tell people where it's going to be.
Yeah. Exactly. You understand that
weather
and hide
where it's going to be. Okay, but you don't have to hide where it's going to be, bro. You can tell people where it's going to be. And then once 50 people sign up, that's it. You ain't got to hide it from people.
The most I'm going to tell everybody, it's 15 minutes away from Mohegan Sun. So if you're interested in coming, then hit me up.
In which direction?
15 minutes where? Like north, south, west, east?
North.
Give us a hint. What's the first two letters of the name of the bar? Please tell us that.
It's towards Norwalk.
Norwalk. I know where that is. Norwalk.
Yeah.
I got it. Yeah. Is it near the Foxy Lady?
Do you know where this is going to be?
Yes.
What if they give you the wrong address?
I don't understand why.
What if you show up and no one's there? You're just battling yourself.
That would be funny as fuck.
I don't know that it works.
It's definitely happening. There's a whole card there. It's by no.
So is this like a fight where they have a card, like a fight card, when you get there, and you know? Hey, like MC Quest is going to be
There's eight battles on the card.
Are you the main event or are you like the curtain jerker? I mean, where are you at?
No, I'm the opening.
You're jerking the curtain. Okay. All right.
Can I get one line? Can I get one punchline?
Yeah, let's hear something. Give me like an old rap you used to do.
Give me one punchline, man.
I don't know.
Like, bust like a Reign Terror, Fall Off Never, How You Wanna Do This, Hey Yo, Whatever. Like, give me like something.
40 Ounce Jazz vs. Stu Sabe, aka the artist formerly known as Mass Messiah. I said, Messiah. Oh, that's nice. The only Messiah I know is Jesus Christ, the savior of my life. I'll hit him with this. I'll swing with this left. If he ducks, I'll hit him with this right. There you go. You asked for one, I gave you one.
All right.
Take a look over here. Jesse Reagan's a bum. Battle with me? I don't think so, son. You better run, because it just ain't fun. Like Chuck D said, my Uzi weighs a ton.
Yo, Eric.
Are you son
because
you're
Eric,
mine, not because you shy? All right.
Yo, Eric. I call this show. I call you show. I watch you follow the lead.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, you gonna take advice from B? I was like, all right, okay, son. This is the same person that paid me when I got in my interview with Chad Dawson. Shots fired.
Wow. That was rough, man. I don't know. I love the Beeb, man. Beeb's my boy. You mess with Beeb,
Beeb's
mess with
my
Beeb,
boy,
man.
Too.
That's how
but,
it is, man.
But he called me out. He called me out, so I had to shot back.
Wow.
Look around. I see a different generation. I flip it old school, round style, demonstrating pure skill. Show them all, suckers watching hysteria. Jesse Reagan is a punk. Joe Habib rocks blocks through your area.
There you go. Yeah, why are you attacking Beeb all of a sudden?
No, he took a shot at me. I had to take a shot back. That's all. I love
that.
Beeb.
Was kind of below the belt, though. I mean, it wasn't like, I mean, you know.
Beeb was my big brother. Beeb, you know you're my big brother, bro. Forever.
I know.
Yo, so Roy Jones says he's regretting making this fight. Do you guys believe that shit or no?
I would. Did you see Roy in training? Did you see him throwing punches? Yeah, I would.
But
30 pounds lighter.
But did you hear what the promoter said? Oh, he said the promoter said they're not allowed to go for the knockout. They know that, and I don't know why they're talking like this.
No, but that's nonsense. Yeah, but that's nonsense though, because it's now a sanctioned fight.
Tyson
they
wasn't
have judges
allowed,
and everything now. So
Tyson wasn't allowed to fight Evan Holyfield's era, but he did it anyway. The thing is this. When you got Mike Tyson involved in an event,
anything can happen.
All bets are off, bro.
Yeah.
All bets are off.
But he's going to lose money if he goes for the knockout.
You mean he's going to lose?
The announcer pretty much, the promoter pretty much said, I don't know why they're talking like this, because he's going to, he said, you know, they were told the rules. They would tell the rules and would tell the
I'm gonna be honest. I don't know what the hell's gonna happen. That's why I'm gonna watch, bro. I don't know what they're gonna do. You could be right, Jesse. I don't know. But then again, someone could be lying too. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Yo, by the way,
yeah, who knows, man?
I won $200 before. I'm gonna put up another open bet out there for the people. I got 200 on Lomachenko over Teofimo Lopez.
Not a bad bet. Not a bad bet, I'll tell you that.
I like Teofimo.
So, you want to put up 200, B?
I don't bet with
over
people,
there
bro.
Right
bet,
now, baby. Yeah.
I don't bet with people, bro. I don't bet with people. I bet with like real like websites, or I go to Vegas and shit.
Yeah,
I,
you know what? It's difficult, and I see where the Beeb is coming from here, because
I don't bet with people, bro. I've been stiff too many times, bro.
That's what I was about to say, man.
And I already like if I'm gonna get almost 3-to-1 odds. Why am I going to bet somebody straight up? It just don't make sense.
I'm not giving nobody odds, but if anybody's interested in that,
that's what he just said.
But that's the thing, bro. I bet this dude once. I paid him twice, right? Then he bet me on Canelo Mayweather. I took Mayweather. He took Canelo. Dude never fucking paid me, bro.
Yeah.
And I cussed him out and I embarrassed
him.
Well,
that's
on him. He deleted all his fucking shit. He deleted all his social media network.
Yeah.
And I know what I made with Brian. Brian paid me.
Because Mayweather was a huge favorite. He's like a 3-to-1 favorite. He bet me straight up. That's the only reason why I took the bet.
Right.
But you know, I'll take if someone's gonna give me even money on the favorite. That's fine. I'm taking the favorite, yeah. But if I'm taking the underdog, and I'm getting 3-to-1 odds, if I bet like on, Bovado or something like that, then I'm gonna bet with Bovado. Like why would I not want to get paid out like 3 times? Why would I not want to triple my money?
Like, why don't you bet with one of the online sports bettors?
Yeah, you should bet like on Five Dimes.
That way you don't have to worry about situations where you don't get paid.
I do get paid.
They're gonna pay
Brian
you know.
Payton.
I'm just throwing it out there.
If anybody wants to bet me,
but you understand though, you gotta try to understand what I'm telling you right now. If Teofimo Lopez, right? If you bet $100 on Teofimo Lopez, right? You get 270 back. You get 270 back plus 100.
I understand what you're saying.
So why would anyone bet you even money if they can get
all
three
right.
to one?
I'm just throwing it out there. Just because you said that, I'll peak 300 to somebody's 200.
300 to somebody's 200.
I wanted to do that. Yes.
All right. Well, hey, we got a couple of weeks before that fight. We got a whole room full of people. So, hey, man, if anybody wants some action, Jesse Reekin is there for you. So there you go. All right, Jesse, we're going to get rolling here, man. Thanks for calling. Let's see here. Beeb? That was a bizarre one, man. That was a bizarre one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You get another bizarre one coming up at Rikers, right?
No, he never called in. He said he always does this in the chat, like says he's going to call, never call.
Oh, he didn't call?
He's not in there,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, he's talking
so,
trash.
Yeah, he's just talking trash.
Talking trash, man.
So, go see Jesse Reekin somewhere. On October, I don't know, September 17th, October 17th, I don't know. But he'll be somewhere, I'm assuming.
He'll be somewhere, yeah. He'll be out there somewhere. Make sure you guys check him out.
Yeah, right.